And so,
we are live, Pastor.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor and we bless you this day. We thank you, Father God, for an opportunity to gather in your name, to sit before your throne, Father God, and to study your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have poured out your spirit upon your people, that we have been blessed, that we have been quickened by your spirit to seek you first in all things. Father, this day we pray over Pastor Ben, that as he speaks the word that you have given him, that he will set himself aside, that you may be glorified. We pray, Father, that your spirit will be clear through him, Lord Jesus, ministering into his heart first and to the hearts of your children. We ask that you would open up every heart to hear, every heart to receive, and ear to hear the word that you have for us this day, that we may grow and that we may be strong in your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Set the timer. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Oh, I don't need this. Here, Nikki, I don't need that. Amen. Give an honor to God.
Amen.
And his amazing glory.
Hallelujah.
His worthiness beyond compare, beyond measure.
Yes.
I am just thrilled to be in the vineyard, in the fields working.
Amen.
And before I speak another further, I want to ask my best buddy to come up here. That's you.
I knew that.
Okay.
I was looking at the front of the car.
Amen. And
I just want to say how much I am grateful for his obedience to God. Even though I would have been serving God anyway, it wouldn't have been it, not in this capacity. And I believe that this is what I was created to do.
Amen.
I believe what I'm doing is what God created me to do.
Amen.
And God takes different routes and he used different people to get you where you need to be. And using Pastor Sandy to get me where I needed to be. I'm in my wheelhouse. I can pray. As long as he leads, I can speak what he says. And nobody makes me sit down. They tell me to hurry up, but they don't make me sit down.
Amen.
Because I've been thrown out of churches for doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Several churches. They're like, one preacher asked me, he said, well, why don't you just go? Because the Lord hasn't told me to go yet. He left before I did.
Amen.
Hello. But I just want to thank Pastor Sandy for his obedience. And if you don't listen, shame on you.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Me and Pastor Sandy, some of y'all wonder how me and Pastor Sandy got together. In short, I was producing videos, and Pastor Sandy was producing music videos. I was an editor. He needed an editor. God sent him to me, and that's when we got started. We thought we was going to be Hollywood heavyweights. We was interviewing gospel artists at the top of the charts. We were going to award shows. We was just everything we did, it was just leading up. And then once God said, all right, now, y'all good. Now, go start a church. And that's how it started.
Amen.
Pastor Sandy is an author. I bet you didn't know he was a writer.
Mm-hmm.
He writes screenplays. He does books. Well, he wrote screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote books. And he knows the gospel. So if you don't want to listen to what he says, it's just your loss.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're not just for this ministry.
Amen.
Amen. All right, and thank you for being my best friend.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. I love you too. I will kiss you, but I will love you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. 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 Jesus. Amen. Amen. Did I drop something? Oh, amen. I dropped something, y'all. Amen. It's gone. Oh, here it is. There it is. All right.
I believe we have a world-class message today. I believe it's awesome. I'm glad that the young people have decided to stay in and hear this message because I think it's the bomb diggity.
Amen.
Amen. Bomb diggity. That's what I said.
We have to explain it to the kids.
Oh, I think it's really, really good. Y'all understand that part, right? All righty. Bomb diggity. Really, really good. We have Asia on the chat room today. Hi, Asia. Amen. So that's my daughter, Asia, in the chat room. If you got something to say, ask her. Amen. We have, not Olivia. What your name is, girl? Abigail on the on the cameras backing us up. Pastor Sandy, did you want to give a shout out to those? To those cards that you got?
I could, but I know this card is for you. Here.
This one for me?
This card's for you. She'll know who sent it.
Oh, amen.
And then,
Dean, and Dean lives really close by. He lives in Orange County.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he sent us a great...
Larry, Mr. and Mrs. Larry Arterburn. Bless you. Now I have 10.
And Dean Harris, he lives in Irvine, California.
Amen.
So he wants flyers so he can get out and witness for 2020.
Amen.
He lives close enough. I should go see him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And who is this? This is Catherine Cardoza, and she lives in Colorado Springs.
Amen.
Go Buffs.
Amen.
And that's about it right now, but there's so many more, and I'll do that on Wednesday.
Okay? Amen. Good enough. Amen. I also want to give a shout out to the message is coming. Stop complaining. Amen. A shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Santiago from Tampa.
Tampa?
From Tampa. And thank you so very much. I put this with my stash. Look at this. Look at us. See? Is that beautiful? Amen. And I keep them so I can keep them. Amen. I mean, not that my wife would take them on purpose or anything like that. Amen. But just to keep the temptation on the down low. Amen. We're going to put them right here. All right. Amen. So here we go. It's an awesome message. These are the notes that the Lord was waking me up, giving me, and what he was talking to me, what I do now. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Abigail. You all know we have a podcast now, right?
Yes.
How awesome is the podcast? How awesome is the podcast, y'all? Did you know that, Officer Ryan? We have a podcast. Podcast up and running. Link in to description box of the, I don't know what you just said. Can you come on up here? This is Abigail, y'all. This is the one that helped us keep things going around here on the YouTube and the podcast. Read that, please.
So the podcast is up and running. Mm-hmm. The link is in the description box of every video that we upload from now on. You guys are free to download the podcast and take it on the go in your cars if you guys have Bluetooth. Okay, so definitely messages can be on the go from now on.
Yes! Woohoo! Thank you, Abigail! And thanks. The person that got this started and going for us is...
Kat Canny. Thank you so much.
Kat Canny. Let's give her an applause. A round of applause.
I listened to him yesterday.
You listened to him yesterday? Oh, my goodness. It is just awesome, awesome, awesome how the Lord has taken this from a handful of people to the whole world.
Amen.
Amen. And so I am, and Kat, we can't thank you enough. And God bless you in the name of Jesus. You are definitely, absolutely, positively in our prayers. Amen. She contacted us and asked permission if she could do this. And I turned, and I told, not Naomi.
Abigail.
And I told Abigail, get with this sister and let's get this thing rolling. Amen. I know who she is. Amen. Names are not my thing, y'all. I'm sure you know that by now. Amen. So the Lord woke me up one morning out of the blue.
Yeah.
Out of the blue. Just, I already don't sleep that much at night. And so to wake me up when I already don't sleep that much anyhow, it must have been from God.
Amen.
And he told, and all he said was this. He said, they don't get it.
Wow.
He said they don't get it.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, first of all, what is it that they don't get?
Yes.
And who are they?
Yes.
And that's where the journey began. And this was like, where's my wife? This was like 3 weeks ago. I told you the Lord said, this is like 3 weeks ago. Uh-huh. He started talking to me about this message.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, they just don't get it. He said, they don't get it. So one of the first things, the first thing that he brought to me, he says, Peter, y'all remember when Peter told Jesus, this is not going to happen to you. Woe be it to me. This is don't worry, Jesus. This is never going to happen to you. I ain't going to let, because Peter was the one that chopped that Roman's ear off, and Jesus had to get it and put it and stick it back on his head. Peter was definitely operating out of the flesh.
Yes.
Peter was thinking about what's happening right now, this atmosphere, this time frame, this age where I am. I'm thinking about what's going on now. And Jesus, the one that brought me from where I was to where I am, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's God in the flesh. And somebody's going to hurt my God? Somebody's going to do this to him? I don't think so.
Yes.
What he failed to realize was that, first of all, you can't talk to God like that because he's God. Okay? No matter what your relationship is with God, you have to respect the fact that he is God. Second of all, Peter was only noticing or witnessing or experiencing or concerned about the things that were going on in his atmosphere at that time and that point.
Yes.
He wasn't thinking about the bigger picture. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Would y'all agree with that?
Yes.
He was only thinking, not even necessarily purposely, but he was only thinking about how it would affect him, his walk, and those that he in the situation that he was familiar with.
Yes.
Doesn't that sound a lot like us today?
Yes.
When the Lord gives us a command, the first thing we're concerned is, how is this going to change how I operate? What's this going to do about my finances? How is this going to affect my job? How is this going to affect my friends? What's it going to do about me? How's it going to affect? We never see the big picture.
Yeah.
Because the first thing we run to is how this is going to affect me.
Yeah.
But if Christ had not died, I'm going to give you an example of a few things that would reflect the fact that he not died. If Christ didn't die, okay, where are you? Okay. So if Christ had not died on the cross, he would not have been, I'm going to just, because I can't understand my writing. So if Christ had not died, he would have never been able to offer the Jews another contract.
Amen.
Okay, and we know the Jews are important to God. Y'all know that, right? Second, or another thing, if Christ had not died, his word would not have been fulfilled and completed. The Old Testament would have not been fulfilled because this was written.
Amen.
That these things would happen. So if Christ had not died, that would not have been fulfilled. So the promise would not have been kept. If Christ had not died, the blood would have never been shed. And without the shedding of the blood, Jesus.
Amen.
The things that we know today, we would not have. I needed his blood.
Amen.
To be shed. I needed that. Yeah. So he knew at the time, before he got on the cross, he knew that I was going to need that blood today.
Yes.
If Christ had not died, he would not have had the opportunity to rise. He would not have had the opportunity to go and take back the key.
Right.
Of death and Hades.
Yes.
He wouldn't have the opportunity to do that because he would not have died to go down into the pit to be able to bring escort. Are y'all following? He wouldn't have been. If he had not died, he wouldn't have risen. And if Christ had not risen, he couldn't have been truly who he said he was.
Yes.
Because the word said that God would rise.
Yes.
So if he wouldn't have died, he wouldn't have risen. And if he would not have risen, what would have happened to those that were waiting for him.
Amen.
To come so that they could be escorted into the kingdom?
Yes.
If he had not died and risen, what would have happened to them?
Yes.
Y'all follow me?
Amen.
If the plan of God had not been followed specifically and strategically the way God this written it out, nothing would have worked.
Wow.
Nothing. And so if the flesh wouldn't have been able to get what he wanted, Christ would have never fulfilled his purpose.
Yes.
Does that tell us something about the flesh?
Amen.
The flesh is not concerned about what God is concerned about. The flesh is concerned about what it's concerned about.
Yes.
What makes me feel good. What things that are going to interact with my atmosphere? What's going to affect me? Your flesh is only concerned with the things of the flesh.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
Your flesh is not concerned about the will of God by any means. Peter, operating out of his flesh, was not concerned about the will of God. He was only concerned about the things of the flesh.
Yes.
That's how people are today. I'm sorry. I'm juicing up again. Can somebody give me a towel? He's a, what'd you call him, a boogie towel? Can somebody give it? She calls him a boogie towel. Amen. Peter was only concerned about the things that were concerning him. He wasn't concerned. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. He was not. Amen. I love that bald head man. Peter was only concerned about things that concerned his flesh at that moment. At that moment, he was not concerned about the things that concerned God. And what? And how did God address him? Get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes.
So if Peter is thinking that way in his flesh, and Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan, what must he be thinking, or what must he be saying when you're thinking that way in your flesh? Yes. When your flesh is more important than God's will, I can barely hear him, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When your flesh and the desires of your flesh becomes more important than the desire for God's will to be made manifest, then God must be saying to you, whether you recognize it or not, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want God calling me Satan.
Yes.
Are y'all awake?
Amen.
Well, grunt, bark, do something. I don't want God calling me Satan. I don't want that. Oh, but that's just part of the message. Okay, so y'all with me so far, right?
Amen.
Okay, so the first, I thought this message was going to be called Hidden in Plain Sight. That's what I thought. But he always changes it 2 or 3 times before I get the final cut. Y'all know that Oprah's own, spelled backward, is NWO, mm-hmm. which stands for New World Order. Hidden in Plain Sight.
Yes.
I've been seeing OWN ever since she started. I mean, I don't watch it. I saw the letters. I saw the commercial. Ever since she started. But until somebody in the chat room came in a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, OWN is the same as New World Order. She's all in New World Order. In plain sight.
Yes.
OWN, NWO, New World Order. This is the way we're going to do stuff. We need to get rid of y'all so we can do our thing.
Yeah.
Are y'all following me? And you got people flocking to her like she's giving away government cheese. They're just running to her.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. So things hidden in plain sight. Let's start with the scriptures and then we'll take it from there. Let's first go to Matthew 16:20. Amen. Can I tell you a few things?
Yeah.
I have time. We do it. Matthew 16:20. So I have what sparked this conversation, what offense happened during this conversation, and the betrayal that followed. So there's a story with this, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Please turn down your phones and your pods and all that stuff. So it doesn't interrupt. If you got to talk, talk outside. Amen. Y'all ready? So let's go with Matthew 16:20. This is how it all started. Verse number 20. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Amen. And I, you know, for oftentimes I would wonder about that. Oh, good morning, Izzy Pop. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good.
Amen. I love it. I would wonder, well, why is it that he charged them not to tell? One thing is that people were coming for one reason and Christ was coming for another.
Yeah.
A lot of times people will follow you for the reason that you're not asking them to follow you for.
Yeah.
A lot of them were following him for the fish and the loaf.
Right.
They wanted what he had. They didn't want to necessarily change their life.
Right.
But since he was passing out the food,
right.
I might as well get me some.
Right.
You know, you passing out stuff, I want my cut.
Right.
And so, and remember, he's still in the flesh, and so he gets tired.
Right.
Y'all, I mean, he was God, but he was wrapped in this flesh. And the flesh gets tired, whoever you are.
Yeah.
And it takes energy to minister to people that are coming for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
It takes energy to minister to people that are coming for the right reason. But it takes way more energy to minister to people that don't want to hear what you want to say, but they just want to get what you got to get. They come to prayer for the prayer.
Amen.
I'm not coming for the word. I'm just coming to see if you got something to say about me.
Right.
You ain't got nothing to say about me? I'm out.
Yes.
And so it's a job to minister to people that don't really want to hear what you got to say. But if you got something that you passing out, I want my cut. And so God, amen. So God's like, listen, we got enough people that know I'm here. Let's chill on the, you know, take down the blitzkrieg and all that stuff. We can just cool, chill it out. And because I got some stuff I need to do and they kind of getting in my way. Amen. Verse number 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. Your Bible may word it differently. I'm reading from the New International Version. And that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life.
Amen.
And they're thinking, killed? If they kill him, where my income coming from? If they kill him, I won't be a big fish anymore. If they kill him, what's going to happen to us? They know we with him. If they kill him, the ministry can't go on. If they kill him, what happens to me?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That had to be the mindset of the human nature running through some of their minds. Y'all follow me so far?
Amen.
So Jesus was telling them, look, this has to happen. He didn't just tell them. He was teaching them. This is not something you need to just hear. This is something you need to know. I must do these things. These things have to happen. Amen?
Yes.
There are things that Christ has set up in your life for his benefit that have to happen.
Amen.
Sometimes we're paired with people and we don't understand, but it has to happen. Sometimes we're placed in positions and in jobs and we don't get it, but it has to happen. Sometimes we're taken away from those people, places, and things for the purpose of God, but it has to happen.
Yes.
Janelle's going through what she's going through, not because she did anything wrong, but God needed to do something and he needed somebody willing to go through. And so that thing had to happen because somebody saw her when she went in. Now somebody needs to see her when she comes out. These things have to happen. Even if you don't understand why they have to happen, they still have to happen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse number 22. Peter took him aside. And I'm thinking, this brother got guts. He's got nerve.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Peter, Jesus. Come here. Come here a minute. We need to talk.
Uh-huh.
Don't you hate it when people say we need to talk? I hate that. I'm like, send me a text. I'll read it when I get time. Peter said, Jesus, we need to talk about what you just said. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. How you gonna rebuke God? How much juice do you think you have when you gonna tell God, I don't like what you just said? Some of us, somewhere in our lifetime, have told God, I don't like what you just did to me. I don't like what you just said. I don't like where you just put me. I don't like who I'm with. I don't like what's happening. I think you and me need to talk.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And God said, you know, I had somebody else tell me something like that. I think his name started with a P.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Didn't God? Okay, well, amen.
Yeah.
So Peter rebuked him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. So now you're calling me a liar. Not only are you acting like you my daddy, but now you're calling me a liar. Isn't it something how we get a little favor and a little grace and a little mercy running through our life and now we can tell God what to do? Isn't that something? I just ain't going. I've heard people in the church, I just ain't going to do it. But the Lord wants, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I've heard him say it.
Yes.
to my great disbelief,
yes,
I'm just not going to do it. And meant it. And didn't do it. Because they got it like that. I looked up rebuke because I wanted the exact description. Express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or actions. You're going to criticize God for coming to the world to fulfill his purpose because it's inconvenient with your walk. Amen?
Yes.
This is good, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, verse number 22, a different version. Peter took Jesus aside and told him to stop talking like that.
Wow.
This brother bold. He ain't too smart, but he very bold. Everything ain't ticking up here, but he really bold. Amen? I'd be scared. He starts to, Lord, I don't have nothing to do with him. Wiping off my fingerprints, cleaning it. I ain't got nothing to do with him, Lord. All that's him. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Right? And if you start talking like that, I'm going to do the same thing. I ain't got nothing to do with him, Lord. That's all you. Give me a minute. I'll be gone. And you can do as you will. He told him that. He told the Lord, he expressed his sharp disapproval and criticism of the Lord because of their behavior or action. So let me read 22 again. Peter took Jesus aside and told him to stop talking like that, he said. God would never let this happen to you. So he was telling the Son of God that the Father will never let this happen to you, not realizing or not acknowledging or not thinking that he was actually talking to the Father, because, you know, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Lord said that. But again, he's operating out of his flesh, so he's not thinking clearly.
Right.
And he says, God ain't going to let this happen to you. And I'm sure he draw the sword, and me either. I dare somebody. Now, you're going to take a carnal tool and fight a spiritual battle. Because he's operating in the flesh. You cannot please God by operating in the flesh. You cannot defeat spiritual matters from the flesh. You have to fight the spirit with the spirit. And the Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? At that time, Peter and God were not in agreement. Which means they were obviously separated.
Amen.
So he could only talk in the flesh if he was separated, because he was not connected with God. So when you talk opposite of what God is saying, you are no longer connected with God because you're speaking out of your flesh.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
Amen.
Does it hurt yet?
Uh-huh.
All right. Verse number 23. This is where it gets good. Jesus turned and said to Peter, can I do a Jesus on you? Ryan, come here. I'm finna do a Jesus on you. Come on, Ryan. Leave your gun back there because I want no stuff out of you. You stand over here, son. Stand over here. Now, I want you to stand behind me, and I need you to shake your hand at me like you're rebuking me and get your neck waddle going and whatnot. Amen. I need to see them fingers move. Pretend like you black and show them fingers. Come on. Come on. Do what you do. Amen. And Jesus like, hold up. You done forgot who I am. You didn't make me. I made you. You're not here because of me. I'm here because...
Go ahead.
I can't even get my thoughts straight. Go on, boy. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus is like, look, Peter, you need to check yourself. You didn't bring me here. I brought you here. You didn't pick me. I pick you. I'm here on assignment. You're here by grace. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's old school. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Amen. I don't want to hear it, Lisa.
Still work.
It still works, Pastor. God is like, look, dude, I'm here on official business. You're here because I let you here. See, we're here because of God's grace. God is here because he's God. Amen. He's on assignment. And see, that's what, and when I finally finished this message, I said, that's what it means. I told the Lord after I finished writing this message, I said, now I get it.
Yeah.
Now I get that they don't get it. Peter didn't get it. He didn't get why God was here. He didn't get why God had to die. He didn't get why he had to be mistreated by those people. He didn't get why the Jews had to turn their back on him. He didn't get it. Peter didn't get it. I'm thinking there are a couple of Peters listening to this message. They just don't get it. I hate the Jews. You know why you hate them? Because you don't get it. I needed the Jews to reject Christ so that he could offer the contract to me. I needed the Jews to reject him so that he would offer it to me. I needed him to be rejected by his own so that he would focus on me. I needed that. And whatever the Jews are doing, they're in my prayers. Good, bad, or different, because I needed them to be where I am.
Amen.
And if you don't understand that, it's because you don't get it.
Amen.
God had to do what he had to do. And Peter didn't accept it because he didn't get it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Number 23. Oh, is that where I am? Does anybody know? 23. Okay, that was one version of 23 after the Ryan thing. Here's another version. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. You're looking at your life from your perspective instead of looking at your life from God's perspective.
Amen.
You're looking at your walk as how inconvenient it is to you.
Amen.
Instead of looking at your walk, this is where the Lord put me. It must be a reason.
Yes.
This is the direction that the Lord has pointed me in. There must be a reason.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's another version. That was the New International Version. The other one was the Contemporary Version. Here's the English Standard Version. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. See, he's speaking to the spirit that was dictating his tunnel vision.
Right.
He was speaking to the spirit that was operating in Peter, that was dictating what Peter was actually seeing. What spirit is dictating what you're seeing?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Is the Lord going to have to tell you, get thee behind me?
Amen.
Are your thoughts are going to cause God to tell you to get behind me? Because if I'm agreeing with God, I'm walking with God. If I'm behind him, I'm not walking with him.
Right.
I'm behind him. You can't walk with somebody behind them. You walk with somebody with them.
Yes.
I went to second grade. I think I got that right.
Yes.
And so if he says, get thee behind me, that means you're no longer walking with him.
Yes.
Is something that you're focused on that's going to tell God to tell you to get behind me? I'm just asking.
Come on.
Thank you, Pastor Sandy. I got one amen. I'm good.
I get it.
Amen. Amen. Can somebody say I get it?
I get it.
Now, don't say it if you're lying, because I don't want to have prayer service until I'm done. But if you get it, say I get it. If you don't get it, don't say nothing.
I get it.
All right. And for those of you that didn't say it, thank you. But I think you'll get it by the end of this message. Verse number 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross. Wait a minute. Take up your cross. I thought Jesus was the only one that had a cross. I thought Jesus was the only one that had a cross. What's he saying? Take up my cross. What does that mean? I thought there was only one cross and Jesus had it. You mean I got my own cross to bear?
Amen.
A cross. Now, I know you've never literally hung on a cross because I've seen your hands. But from what I understand, it's no fun up there.
Yeah.
It don't look like anybody's celebrating being on a cross.
Yes.
Right? So if I've got my own cross And if Christ had to stay on his, maybe I have to stay on mine. And if Christ didn't get down until it was time to come down, then maybe I need to stay on my cross no matter what I'm going through.
Come on.
I need to stay on my cross until it's my turn to get down.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes. I need to stay on my cross no matter what they do to me.
Yes.
I need to stay on my cross no matter what they say to me. Because sometimes what people say to you will cause you to want to come down off your cross.
Yes.
I'm just being real. Sometimes people say something and you're like, wait a minute, I'll be back in a minute. And you're going to go after whatever it was. Sometimes what you hear makes you want to come down. But if God didn't come down and you're following after God, you got to stay on your cross. Because if you don't, something that should have been fulfilled by you being on the cross will not be fulfilled. If Christ had come down off his cross before its time, something would not have been fulfilled. So if I'm following after Christ, I got to stay on my cross.
Yeah.
He never, Christ shed tears on his cross. Anybody?
Amen.
He cried on his cross. He bled on his cross. He was hurt on his cross. He was stabbed on his cross. Someone's still pulling the daggers out of our back.
Amen.
But he never got off.
Yes.
Here's another thing. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do.
Right.
Some of the people in your atmosphere that are doing to you what they're doing, they don't realize who they're doing it to.
Yeah.
And they don't realize what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
Because I believe if some people knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it because they would be afraid of you.
Yeah.
But because they don't see you the way God sees you, they see you the way the world sees you, they feel that they have the freedom to do whatever they want because they don't see. They're only looking at you from man's perspective. They're not looking at you from God's point of view. And so they have no idea what they don't get it. They don't have any idea what they're doing to you because they don't see you the way God sees you.
Amen.
And we can't blame them. We can't condemn them for not seeing you the way God sees you.
Amen. Amen.
We have to do what God did.
Yes.
Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Kill them, Lord.
Forgive them, Lord. And a lot of us kill them. Get them. Get them, Lord. Get them. I was one of them. Get them, Lord. Get them. Don't let him leave this room. Get him, Lord. And Lord, if it's all right, can I help you get him? I know I'm not the only one that felt that way. But maybe you've been saved all your life and you don't know nothing about that. But that's not my testimony. But you know, once I got it, I knew I couldn't do that anymore.
Amen.
Amen. Once I got it. Because I did that to somebody before I came into the light.
Yes.
Maybe I was just reaping what I sowed.
Amen.
Somebody probably said, get him. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all through with that. Let's go on. All right, that was verse number 24. Okay. So that ignited the rest of this message. That right there. Let's go to John 6:48. John 6:48. Time sure flies fast when you're having fun. Amen. John 6:48. I got a scripture that blew my mind. Amen. Somebody say something when you get there.
Amen.
The Lord. Do you know that the scripture tells us that mankind were made a little lower than the angels? You all are aware of that, right?
Yes.
And do you know that if we were made on the same level as the angels, one of the things that we take advantage of now, we wouldn't be able to take advantage of then. If we were on the same level as angels, we would have no place for forgiveness.
Amen.
Because nobody died for an angel.
Amen.
But Christ died for you.
Yes.
I just thought that was interesting when the revelation came. I said, wow, the angels are all that. But they wait, they one wrong move and they out.
Yeah.
How many wrong moves you've made?
Amen.
And we still in.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so listen to this. I'm going to die this cross. Okay. Life of... I got it. He came to offer... Okay, so some of the things that some of the things we need to realize. Christ didn't come to elevate. The Jews were upset for various reasons about Christ. The misconception. I don't know how they, I don't understand how they were. Well, I kind of do because Pastor Sandy taught on that the other day, but they had in the scripture the purpose of God coming. It was written. They studied it for generations. They knew he was coming. They knew why he was coming. They read the purpose of him being here and what was going to happen. Nothing should have been a surprise. But yet and still, they were surprised. And I'm like, I don't get that. How do you read about something for generations and then be surprised when it comes?
Yeah.
How do you know about God for years and years and years and die in your sin? You surprise you in hell. How are you surprised you don't pay the IRS for 10 years? Uh-huh. And you're surprised that they garnish you in your check, they done took your car, there's a notice on the front door. And you surprised, like Red Fox, I don't know why they're picking on me, because I'm a black man. No, because you're stupid. You didn't pay your taxes.
Amen.
Right? I don't know why the Lord got, I don't know why the Lord got me down here. No, you got you down there. How are you going to, amen. I'm not even going to, because it's going to go to a whole different place. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's go to John 6:48. You there?
Amen.
This is the offense. This is what actually set off this particular offense. They were offended about a lot of things, but this really ticked them off. Y'all ready? 48. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. 49. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. Your ancestors ate physical bread. They ate the things of this world. But it couldn't save them because they still all died. Amen. But now there is a bread from heaven, Jesus, that's coming down to feed you, that you may eat of me and learn of me and you shall live. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Number 51. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Ah! Did you just like say what now? Oh, you think this scripture is talking about you? That's what he's saying to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm that bread. The Jews are like, oh, you claim to be that bread? You claim to be the living bread? You think you're the living bread? You think you're the living bread? You think you're the God that the book is to? You think that's, you think you're the man? That's what they said. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
And if anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. Oh, and now you're telling me I'm never going to die. If I eat of your bread, if I eat you, I'm going to live forever. They're not getting it. You can tell from the jump. They're not getting this. They're not spiritual minded. They're not looking at it through God's perspective. They're not remembering what they studied for generations. They're just going out. See, because God is now in my atmosphere. And so I'm going to look at God through my own eyes because I have my own atmosphere. Like a lot of us, I have my own way of doing things. I have my own way of talking to people. I've got my own way of salvation, my own way of salvation. I've got my own way of salvation. That the world has its own way of salvation. The world's salvation is not God's salvation. The world has its own way of salvation. Did y'all hear that? I said it like 8 times. The world has its own way of saying what salvation is. And so when Christ came to show them, no, that's not salvation. I'm salvation. They're like, no, we don't receive that.
Yeah.
Because see, now you're coming and trying to change the way we do stuff.
Uh-huh.
We was doing stuff before you got here. Christ's like, I made the place. I was here before you. But they said, we have a way of doing stuff, and now you just stepping in and just going to change everything that we're doing. We're not about you. We don't like that. See, now he's trying to show them who they truly are. and trying to help them to be who they need to be.
Yes.
But my question still remains, how is it that you've known this for generations and now you're surprised when it happens?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read some more because I think y'all might like this. What verse was that? That was 51. Okay, here's another version of 51. I am the living God, the living bread, who have come down from heaven. And if any man will eat of this bread, who's the bread?
Jesus.
If any man shall eat of this bread, if any man shall eat of what bread? Jesus. He will live for eternity. And the bread that I shall give is my body.
Yes.
That I give for the sake of the life of the world. Do you know eternity will always be? Eternity will never not be. Y'all follow that? There will always be eternity. There will not always be this earth. There will not always be that sun. It will not always be what you see here. But eternity will always be. And since you are made in the light, in the image of God, you have a three part. Part of you, the real you, is eternal.
Yes.
The real you.
Amen.
The real you is going somewhere.
Amen.
When you leave here. The real you is going into where it's been created to be. Eternity. The question is, which part of the eternity will you be in?
Yeah.
Right? That's the real question. What part of eternity will you be in? Because you have a choice. Because God is a gentleman. He's not going to snatch you and make you love him. But he will allow you to love him.
Yes.
He will teach you how to love him. Yes. Amen? And so you have a choice. Which part of eternity will you be in? Because this is where you make your choice.
Yes.
Right here. This is where you make your choice. This is where you plant your seed. This is where you harvest. This is where you make your choice. This is where you pick sides. Because if you don't pick Christ, you will pick Satan by default.
Yes. Amen.
I'm neutral. There's no such thing. There's no such thing.
Amen.
You cannot be neutral in this race.
Yes.
You cannot be neutral in this fight. If you don't purposely pick Christ, you have inadvertently picked Satan by default, which means you are lost because you did not choose Christ.
Amen.
You cannot fall to Christ. You have to go to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot have salvation by default. You have to choose salvation. Amen?
Amen.
All right. What verse was that?
Yes.
That was 51. 52. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh and eat? We just read he said he's the bread of life. He said, don't eat my fingers. Consume what I'm saying.
Yes.
But they didn't get it.
Yes.
They didn't get it.
Right.
They could have got it, but they were so wrapped up in their flesh, they just couldn't get it. How many of you have been sitting listening to the gospel? How many of you have been watching these YouTubes? How many of you have been listening to this church? How many times has God spoken to you when it was just you and you still don't get it? And it blows my mind. You live with a person for 40 years and you don't know what color they like. You don't know what they like to eat. You don't know where they sleep. 40 years you've been with this person and they still got to ask you what you want to eat. 40 years. You ought to know. Why don't you know? I don't really care enough to know. That's why I keep asking.
Right.
It's not that important to me, so I keep asking. I should know, but, you know, I know you'll tell me.
Yes.
And if that annoys you, how must God feel?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. God's got to keep asking you, please live right. Please come to church. Please pray. Please read your Bible. Please talk to somebody.
Somebody.
Just open the door and just yell out. Talk to somebody. Pick up the phone, dial a wrong number, and tell somebody something.
Yeah.
Say something to somebody about me, would you please? And before you do anything, I don't know what the Lord want me to do. I just don't know. I ain't got a word this morning. You got a word. 66 books. Pick one.
Come on.
There are all kind of words in that book. I dare you to look one of them up. Amen. I need a fresh word. Every time you open that Bible, there's a fresh word. Amen. I need manna. Manna this. Amen.
Amen.
Always excuses. Never any progress. All right, I'm going to go on because the amens can stand out. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sandy. Get it. Verse number 52, or another version of 52. Then the people began arguing with each other about what it meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. Okay, now I need this.
Uh-huh.
Amen. I know. You didn't have to ask. You already knew. Amen. How can this man? How are we going to eat his flesh? And I'm sure Jesus is standing over there because he could hear what everybody's saying, and he's standing over there like, just my mom used to say, pitiful, just pitiful, just dumb as a rock. They just don't get it. And it's not because you can't get it. It's because you just won't get it. How frustrating is that? I'm irritated just telling you.
Right.
All right. Somebody find Matthew 20 and 28. I need one amen and I'm going to read it. How are they doing online, Asia?
Good.
Amen, somebody. Just one somebody. Matthew 20. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Hallelujah.
He didn't come. Jesus don't need your advice. The Lord don't need to ask your opinion about nothing. He flung the stars up in the sky and they're still there. He didn't ask you one thing. He told a son to do what is, you stay hot until I tell you not to. And it's still doing its thing. He told a fish to swim and he's still swimming.
Yeah.
Dogs barking, they still bark. Everything is doing what God told him to do. And he didn't ask your opinion about nothing.
Yeah.
Why does he have to ask your opinion about how he should cause your life to be? Mama, how am I doing? He didn't come for you to give him advice. He came to teach you. And to redeem you and to show you how to live.
Yes.
Because without Christ, there is no life. There is existence, but there's no life.
Amen.
The three-part being that should be alive and well, if you don't have Christ, only two of them are operating because the other one is a dead spirit. And until Christ breathes life into that third part of you, that dead spirit in you, you don't have life.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I bet you some of y'all didn't know that. Amen. All right, let's keep it pushing because I'm almost finished. I need you to go to John 6:66. Ah, that got me too. John 6 chapter, verse 66. When I saw it, I'm like, I've been reading this Bible for years. It never clicked. And then what he said in John 6:66.
What is it?
Let me know when y'all get to John.
Amen.
As a result, many of his disciples turned back and no longer associated with him. Tell me that don't sound like Satan. Sound just like 666. Because of the purpose that Christ came, because of the reason that Christ came, a lot of people, because of what God requires, a lot of people will turn their backs on God because of what God expects out of them.
Many.
Yes. That looks like today, don't it?
Yes.
Because they don't agree with God. And so many people have already turned their back on God because they don't remember. That's in John 6:66. What's the 666 stand for? That's Satan.
Amen.
He's talking about Satan has drawn. Satan is operating in people and bring, for them not to accept in the city. Do y'all get it?
That's good.
Wow.
That's good.
My mind, the only one blowing it is somebody else. Is somebody else's mind go, thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Mama. Amen.
Yeah.
I said, wow. I said, Lord, I would have not. I said, I've been reading this Bible for a minute. I heard that. And I never saw that. I never saw that. Let me read to the commentary that I have. Can I do that? Regarding John, verse 66. Not from that time forward, not a gradual thinning down or departure of some disciples, one today and another tomorrow, but a kind of rush or stampede took place. They didn't just run. They didn't just go one or two at a time. It was a whole gang of them that just stampeded. They just broke their necks getting away from Christ. It was a stampede of people running away because they did not accept God's plan and God's purpose for their life. That's the way it is today. They don't accept God. Boy, if you don't get out and pick that up and hurry up. They don't accept the fullness of God. And so they are breaking their necks to do everything contrary to what they know God stands for.
Right.
God stands for a man and a woman. They got man, man, woman, woman, man, dog, girl, cow, buzzard, chicken. They got all kind of stuff mixed up in that.
Come on.
Whatever God wants, they want the opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
I want everything God don't want.
Yeah.
Whatever God stands for, I'm going to stand for the other one.
Yes.
What they call it, yin and yang. I call it heaven or hell.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
I think I'm right.
Amen.
Amen. So the rest of this commentary, and they just bum rush the door. They just out. Those who a few hours before were ready to call him messianic king were entirely disenchanted. Messianic king. In Jew eschatology, the term came to refer to the future Jewish king of the Davidic line. In other words, just a few hours before they all broke their neck to get out of the house, they were just about ready to crown him king.
Yes.
Don't you think God knew this? For one thing, it wasn't his time to be crowned king, so he couldn't let that happen. And so don't you think he allowed this to take place at this perfect time? Because see, there's more, but I'm not going to read that. God has a way of thinning the herd. In 2010, he thinned the herd. People thought the Lord was coming in 2010. I'm going to be here till December 31st, 2010. And if he don't come January 1st, 2011, I'm on my own.
Yeah.
In 2010, I don't know about all the other churches, but I know in this church, he thinned the herd.
Yeah.
All the people that weren't here for the purpose in which he called, hit the door. Thin the house. Y'all don't remember? I was here.
Amen.
There are a lot of people that thought 2010 was it, and when it wasn't it, they were gone. Christ allowed this to happen to thin the herd. Because if you're only here for what I can give you,
I can't
tolerate you for long periods of time.
Right.
Because I have a purpose for being here. And just filling your pockets is not that purpose. And so God thinned the herd. So only those that really believe he is who he said he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's read on. Let's read on. Verse number 67. John 6:67. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? This is your opportunity to hit the bricks too. If you want to go, are you leaving too?
Amen.
You, if you're leaving, I see you.
Yes.
He asked him, You have a choice. You don't have to stay here.
Amen.
You don't have to walk with Christ. You don't have to walk the thin line. You don't have to be in this position. You don't have to be where God speaks to you and you get up. You don't have to listen to God minister to you. You don't have to be obedient to God. God said, if you want to be like the rest of the world, go.
Yes.
I think he's telling us that today. If you don't want to follow Christ, you are free to, well, you're not free, but you can go. Mm. If you don't want to follow the rules and regulations of God, you may leave.
Yes.
I'm not going to hold you against your will today. You catch that? I'm not going to hold you against your will today, because I'm sure ain't nobody in hell want to be there. And they're being held against their will. Amen. I've never been there, so I don't know for certain, but from what I hear, it is not a nice place to be. Amen. And so if you want to go now, go. But we'll meet up again later. Amen. When I meet him later, I need things to be right. I don't like surprises. I just don't like surprises. And I don't want to get before God. First of all, when you get before God, you already know where you stand. It ain't gonna be no surprise. You already know what your life was like because you were in it. You already know what your choices were because they were yours. So when you get before God, you already know, oh, that's me. I am not stopping. Nikki, come shut this thing up. I still got a minute. Amen. But I will hurry up. Amen. See, you can't get, take it. I don't want it. Take it, take it. And she left it. Amen. So, verse number 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. He said, I guess he came back to himself.
Uh-huh.
And he said, looking through his spiritual eyes, he said, where am I going? What else me and Pastor Sandy going to do? We ain't good for nothing else. What else we going to do? This is what we were made for.
Yes.
We were made for this.
Yes.
Where would I go? They didn't want me then. The church don't want me. The world don't. See, because listen. Even, which I wouldn't, but even if stupidity took its course and I walked in the middle of a train headed my way, the world don't want me because I'm a new creation. So the old man that used to be no longer exists.
Right.
So if I went back into the world, I would have to recreate the old me.
Yeah.
I barely remember the old me.
Yeah.
I would have to remember the stupid stuff that the old me did. And the stupid things that I heard and said, I would have to try to recreate the old me because the old me no longer exists, because when I receive Christ, I have become a new creation.
Yes.
So I got to try to dig up parts and pieces. And while I'm doing that, the world, no matter how I slap it together, the world still will not accept me anymore because I am no longer one of them.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So even if you backslid and went back into the world, you are not comfortable. you just playing the game.
Amen.
You're not accepted. I don't care what they don't accept you because you were one of them. And remember, that mark is still on you. It was sealed for the day of redemption, not to seal you until the day of redemption.
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Amen.
All right. That was verse number 28. I mean, 68. I'm almost finished, y'all. Yeah, I know y'all don't believe it, but I am. Last page. Verse number 69. Besides, we have believed and remain convinced that you are the Holy One of God. So now he's looking at God through his spiritual eyes. He's like, oh yeah, you're the only truth. You're all that matters. And you're the only place I can actually receive life. If I went back into the world, there's no life for me there. There's existence, but there's no life. There are people, but they're not my people. I don't know them, and they don't know me. How can they know me? I'm a new creation. The new me's never been here. The old me was there. The new me's never been there. How can they accept me? I'm not one of them. going back into the world, they're not going to accept you because you're not one of them. You're not going to fit because you were created by God. You were a new creation. You're not going to fit. You need to agree with God's plan so that you can be a part of God's plan.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm almost done. I'm almost finished. Verse number 70. Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." You know, even Satan has a place in God's plan. You know that? He has a place. Of course, it ain't gonna last. But for the moment, he has a place. And he has an assignment. Just like the Jews had an assignment. Satan has an assignment. He said, "I chose all of you, and I chose all of you, and one of you that I chose is a demon." Huh. God chose a demon and put him in service to make, gave him an assignment, made him, got him doing something. God uses everything he created. He didn't create the demon. He created something that turned into that. But God can use that too. Verse number 71. He was speaking about Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Did I say that right?
Uh-huh.
Iscariot. For although Judas was one of the 12, he was later to betray Jesus. And we all know what happened. Here's what I wrote. And then I'm done. Judas had a job to do. Jesus had to be betrayed. He had to be arrested. Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to die. The blood had to be shed. He had to be buried so that he could rise on the third day. The Old Testament had to be fulfilled so that the new contract or the new covenant could be offered to the Jews so that they could reject it. And then it'd be offered to me. All the things that God did had to be done in that time, in that order, so that I could live, so that you could live. We were rushing the rapture. Lord, hurry up. Make the rapture come right now, Lord. Right now, right now. And God told me, I spoke it the last time I spoke. He said, "I can't just walk away. I've got things in the balance." Peter didn't understand that God had things in the balance. He couldn't just not die. He had to die because there were things in the balance. I needed Jesus to die. I needed him to die so that I could live. He had the blood that I needed so that I could live. I need the rapture to happen in God's time because there are things that are hanging in the balance that we don't know.
Amen.
That has to happen.
Yes.
Because somebody's depending on God. If the rapture had happened in 2010, there'd been a lot of people in hell right now. A lot of brand new people. Some of y'all wouldn't have been here. Amen. Some of the people that are listening, you wouldn't be listening. Because it had to happen right now. Not for the world's sake, but because I'm tired of being here. Peter was just thinking about Peter. We are just thinking about us. We need to start thinking about God. We need to think about his plan, his purpose. Why am I here? What's his purpose? What's his plan for my life? Whatever it is, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, how can two walk together? What? In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm done.
Amen.
Amen. Unplug me, somebody. Oh, I'm sorry. Mothers, before you all come up,